Welcome to the podcast of Grace Covenant Church, where we are transformed by God's grace, connected through relationships, and committed to service.
Well, thank you for peeling yourself away from the hundreds of hours of Olympic sports to come and see a live event here. In 3D, that's right. Unfortunately, you got me. It's amazing the things that we begin to watch after these hours of fencing, ping pong, canoe sprints, dressage. I mean, that sounds so sophisticated. All these things that we watch and give our attention to that we would probably not if someone gave us free tickets to. They'd have to sweeten the deal with dinner out at a fine restaurant and a limo ride to it to get us to go to some of those events. And when did badminton get so organized? Badminton World Federation, finally cleaning up the sport of backyard cheating. If I had known this was going to be an Olympic sport, I'd have took it far more serious as an 8-year-old in our backyard. I mean, unfortunately, my parents could only afford the $5 set and not the $10. It kept me back in my Olympic dreams. Well, it's fitting that the Olympics would be the backdrop of our world today, this week, because this is one of two Sundays we spend each year talking about the world and our involvement in the world here at Grace Covenant Church and the efforts of our global outreach ministry, how we seek to serve our Savior in obedience to His command in the Great Commission. In Matthew 28:18, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the earth, of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The church you're a part of has a great, rich tradition in being involved in the world. The world is a part of our DNA here at Grace Covenant Church. As my children grew up and got into college, several of them got involved in global justice kinds of efforts and became advocates for certain social causes for the children or different things around the world. I was very excited that they cared about the people of the world. But I said, "How much are you given toward that?" And it's like, "Well, we don't make that much." Well, yes, you make some, and where your money is, your heart is also. And so they began, even out of their meager college earnings, to give and continue to give to those causes and those needs of people around the world that they say they care about. Well, at Grace Covenant Church, we do the same thing. Money can be a barometer of what we really do care about. And so I wanted to give you a little bit of stats of what we've been doing, how we've been supporting our missionaries, the relief of needies, the agencies they're a part of, special projects, relief efforts that we've been a part of. Over the last 5 years, we've given almost $2.8 million. That's in addition to our church operating budget, in addition to other things that we do. $2.8 million. Tom and I were both shocked when we looked at these figures and when we had them look at it, of all that we're doing, because it's just been here and there, another special project, another relief effort, continued support of our missionaries. That represents over 14% of our annual budget here at Grace. So in other words, every dollar you give, whether you designate it to missions or not, a total of that, over 14% is going to the cause of the world. It's a part of who we are. It's our DNA. It's what our passion is. Now, it was important to us as we looked at that is that you know that what we're doing and what I'm going to share today is not about self-promotion. It's not about a pat on the back for us. I'm certainly very proud of what we're doing and the causes we're involved in and how we respond. But it's about glorifying God. And so we want you to hear that the loudest. I appreciate what we're doing. And so I asked to be able to share on this Sunday as we talked about the summer schedule and things. I thought, I've never been able to share on Global Outreach Sunday. And I want to do it to be able to share a little bit about what caused me to be on staff with Grace, what keeps me here, and why I'm proud and encouraged by the things that we're doing to be involved in the Great Commission around the world. Because it's very, very significant. So we want you to hear loudest from us that it's to the glory of God by the people of Grace that we do these things. These words are on the plaque in front of our worship center. Intentionally on that plaque, there's no date. We did that because we recognize that those of us who gave and gave generously for the last 5 to 7 years to help construct this building weren't the only ones that were part of building it. There was a whole group of people that were here at the church prior to us participating, serving, and giving, and ministering for 35 years prior to that time that were part of building Grace Covenant Church to the glory of God by the people of Grace. Then there were those participants that go back in our church history that started a Bible study and began to love studying the Word of God in depth. And they felt a compelling call from God to start a church, a Bible church in Austin, Texas, where there was not one, and called it Grace Covenant Church because they were studying the book of Galatians at that time, learning about the grace covenant that we have with God. But it wasn't just those people that are part of the people of grace. It's the people that shared Christ with them, that helped mature them and grow them up in Christ. They, too, were the people of grace that were building a church in Austin, Texas, that we get to enjoy and serve in and worship in together today. But then there were generations of people before that who ministered to them, who brought the gospel to them, that they, too, were part of this overall people of grace. So when did this church start? Not necessarily in 1968. Long before that, when the people who were responding to God as personal Savior and Lord began to minister to others and minister to others, and to the glory of God, the people of grace built a church here that we can be a part of. And so all those who follow Christ are people of grace. So it's nondescript. It doesn't claim us as the people of Grace Covenant Church. It's the people of grace with no date because we're part of that. About, what now, a month or 6 weeks ago or so, there was a casual challenge from here by a visitor to help give $40,000 for a clinic in Uganda. They collected that money, could not get my checkbook out fast enough. The line had formed. We raised that money. They went back. They've already started the project. This week, they laid the foundation to that. This is what they wrote in the foundation. To the glory of God by the people of grace. The thousands of people that will be ministered to there and helped and healed and encouraged in their discomfort and their disease won't know that it was you and I that gave. They will know that there's a people that responded to God's grace and did something to God's glory and gave something for them to address the tangible needs in their life to the glory of God by the people of grace. Well, I thought it might be helpful for you to understand why I came on staff here at Grace Covenant Church. I first trusted Christ when I was 16 years old. I called out to God a summer of 1976 and said, God, if you're really there, I want you to come into my life. I want you to forgive my sins. I want you to make me the kind of person that you want me to be. I didn't know a lot theologically. I knew very little biblically. Vacation Bible school when I was 9 years old, Christmas services and Easter services, and not much in between. But I had a desperate need in my life and a consciousness that God might be out there and might care about me. And so I responded. Because I didn't have a lot of spiritual background or even Christian friends, I kind of was up and down spiritually for the next 5 years. I'd kind of turn over a new leaf and I could be good for 3 days. And then that was it. I just would fall back into a pattern of sin. I got to college and joined a fraternity, like was a very major thing to be a part of when for students at Georgia Tech, and got involved in a Bible study through the fraternity brothers there in the house. And so every week, Tuesday, I would go to Bible study the Bible. Wednesday, I would go out drinking. Sunday, I would go out partying and sleep through church on Sunday. It was just kind of this up and down, probably more downs than up, actually, in the course of those years. But I began to struggle with being on the spiritual fence, okay? I had this real tender consciousness to God. Now, it wasn't the kind of consciousness that kept me from doing stupid things, but I felt really bad afterward. And so I kept in this turmoil of doing things I hadn't done before and then feeling bad about them and not being able to reconcile that I really, that God was there and he cared about me and that I should care about him. And I'd read the Bible and it was very significant and insightful, and I was seeing things I hadn't seen before, but I was in this turmoil. So one of the fraternity brothers went to a Campus Crusade conference that winter, came back, started another Bible study. He asked me to be in it. His name was Paul Anderson. He was a little bit ahead of me in college. And so he asked me to be in this Bible study, so I was in this Bible study. And just before spring break, he said, Ray, I want to meet with you. I want to talk to you about something about what I think's next spiritually for you. So we met in his little a bedroom of this house that he was living in, and he shared the Great Commission passage with me, that Matthew 28:18 passage. And he talked about God's desire to reach all the people. And he said, Ray, you and I need to be a part of the Great Commission. And so he began to explain to me the concept of multiplying discipleship. And being great Georgia Tech students, we had calculators by then. And literally, they only came in my freshman year in college. But he had a calculator, and so he said, there's two people, and we're going to reach two people. And so it's times, right? So you keep going times equal on the calculator to show this multiplying effect that two people can have as they share with two people, and those share with four more, and on and on and on like that, okay? Soon the calculator, as in only Georgia Tech style, is flashing error. And Paul's incredibly excited. He says, Ray, we just reached the world for Jesus Christ. And I thought, okay. But there was something in that God was doing something in my life, particularly at that point, and I knew either I had to get off the spiritual fence. I either had to figure out how to blow God off totally and live the way I wanted to, or I needed to be able to jump in with both feet. And I just couldn't totally blow him off. So I went home a different way, went by a bookstore, bought a paperback Living Bible, and every night I would go to my room at 10 o'clock, and I'd read the Bible for an hour, and I'd read through Transferable Concepts by Campus Crusade. And suddenly it clicked that I did not have to live the Christian life under my own efforts, but that God had given his Holy Spirit to live in and through me, and the Word of God was true, and I could live by it. When that kind of transformation, that kind of thing happens in your life, values that you have, you begin to let go of. Things you held on to or were important to you. This transformation began to happen in me, and things I didn't care about, I began to cling to. The Bible. I suddenly cared more about God than I cared about other things. I cared about the Bible, that it was true and I was going to live by it. I decided to live by faith and not by the desires of my own flesh. I took Paul's challenge because I wanted to be a part of something bigger than myself. And God began to change me from within because of that. When it came time for me to graduate, I had to assess what I was going to do. I'd been a co-op student. I had to work my way through school. I did computer programming for a company called Burroughs. I certainly had options in that way or to go into management and other corporate areas. And yet I'd been having this ministry on campus for those last 2 years of school, sharing Christ with students, helping them grow in their faith, begin to see exciting things happen there. So I decided to go on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ. Didn't know where I was going to go. You kind of, at that time, you signed up, wherever you want to send me, I'll go. I got sent to Texas A&M University. How's that for being sent to the remotest part of the world? Now, when you're from Georgia and you go, in Atlanta especially, and you drive into College Station, you think, okay, this is pretty remote. Well, in the course of those 12 years that we were at Texas A&M, certainly Dinah was on staff. We met, God knit our hearts together. We married. We had our four children there. We saw the ministry grow from six students involved in small groups to over 600 involved in multiplying discipleship. We saw well over 50 or 60 students go into full-time Christian work, raising up laborers to join us in the harvest field. We had students that 20 years ago hiked in through northwestern Pakistan into Afghanistan to get the recordings to translate the Jesus film into their language. We had students doing all kinds of bizarre stuff all around the world, and it was incredibly exciting. God stirred our heart. We tried to go overseas a couple times. We were going to go over as a family. The summer, we were going to go to Poland. The summer that Chernobyl happened, and they wouldn't let us go because we had children. So God just sort of kept us here and doing ministry. We got involved in training staff around the country. And I was involved in training the national staff in all of Latin America to do campus ministry in their area. After a period of time, after 12 years, it became harder to go out at night. And so I, and do Bible studies and those kinds of things. So we moved to Austin to be a part of the Texas area team and train staff. Then I became a regional director for Texas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. In human resources, and we're part of training development of staff all around the country so that they could be a part of what God was doing. There's a passage in Matthew 9 that says, when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the fields. That became a new sense of part of the Great Commission, of being a part of something bigger than myself, of raising up laborers to go and to be a part of what God wanted to do in the world, of getting in sync with Him. As we got here, my kids got older and they got more active. It became harder and harder for me to do all the traveling that I was doing with Campus Crusade. And so we decided it was time to get off the road. And we wanted to focus more on local ministry again. And so we began to look at options in Campus Crusade and then began outside. About that time in fall of 94, Jim Rose came to be senior pastor here at Grace Covenant Church. And about a month after he was here, he did a men's breakfast, and he shared some of the things that he would like to see for our church. And one of the things he mentioned was developing a partnership with a campus ministry on UT as part of the church ministry. So I went up to him afterward and introduced myself and said, look, we're just now beginning to do church partnerships in Campus Crusade. I'd love to talk to you about that. And he said, set up an appointment. I got one the next week, which kind of surprising. So Jim and I met, and as we talked, we found out we were both Georgia Tech graduates, which instantly knits your heart together because they're so rare to find around Texas, right? So every time I heard the word Tech, I thought we were talking about Georgia Tech, and there's another Tech in Texas. So we began to talk, and realized that he was at Northwest Bible at the same period of time that I was at Texas A&M. And we realized we knew each other by reputation, but never by name. We had lots of students from Northwest Bible, a part of our ministry at Grace, and he knew where people were coming back. Our students were serving in the church there and stuff. And so real quickly, we kind of had sort of knitted together. I went home, and later that night, Jim called and left a message and said, "Ray, you know, I'd like you to consider coming on pastoral staff of the church." I thought, well, I'd never thought of myself as a pastor, never thought of myself going in that direction. I'd loved the Bible training I'd received, but never chose to go to seminary. At the time, we had been involved in Grace for 4 years or so since we had moved to Austin. We came here because we loved the great Bible teaching. It was very difficult to connect with other people. We served in the children's ministry. We did lots of different things trying to do that, but Grace wasn't all that endearing in a lot of ways. So I began to think and pray about what it was. I'd learned a lot about myself, about my gift mix, about how I like to take things and make them better and organize them and make ministries more effective. And so I needed to be at a place that had great potential, and certainly Grace had a lot of great potential for what God could do through a church that loved the Word of God so very, very much. But as I prayed and talked about, there were two particular things that needed to be a part of any organization I'd be a part of. One was that they had to love and value the Bible. In the 80s, there was a big debate in the Christian world about whether the Bible was authoritative and true, inerrant, and all those kinds of things. It was a settled issue in my mind. God's Word is true. It is authoritative and tells us how we ought to live. And the question is whether or not we'll obey it. And I had already resolved that and needed to be a part of an organization that was on the right side of that debate, and Grace certainly was. The second thing that was important to me was I loved being a part of an international organization. I loved going to the staff training for Grace and seeing about what God was doing around the world. And so any organization I'd be a part of had to have a heart for the whole world, not just themselves. Grace is not in the global outreach ministry as a fad. It has been seeped in the roots and the DNA of our church. We've supported missionaries for a long time and long term. We're committed to that. Because I still, no matter what I did next, I wanted to be a part of something bigger than myself. Something that used my talents and abilities in a greater cause. Something that brought the resources that I had and united them with other people to do something great for the cause of Jesus Christ. God has given me two great places of ministry in my career. At Texas A&M, incredibly fruitful, successful, joyful ministry there. And then at Grace Covenant Church through these years. God has been so gracious to me to do that. But to be a part of a place like this that cares about God's Word and cares about the world. So I come to work each day to cultivate the potential of our combined efforts to make a difference in the lives of people here in the U.S. and to partner with believers around the world to change the world for Jesus Christ. So let me pause here and say this. Thank you for being a part of this church. Thank you for the support that you give, how you fund the ministries, how you fund our global outreach program. Thank you for serving among us. Thank you for participating in life groups and adult communities and women's Bible studies and retreats and those kinds of things so that you can be stirred in your relationship with God. Thank you for being greeters and hosts and teachers. Thank you for serving in the children's ministry and the youth ministry, of which incredibly important. Thank you for being a part of this church. You are a part of the people of Grace that are continuing to build a church in Austin that cares about the things of God, to the glory of God by the people of Grace. And one of the reasons I tell you all that is to show that I come into this role with some convictions about the world. I come into this role with the desire to continue to be used of God to raise up people and organizations and make ministries effective in order that we can be a part of what God is doing in the world. partnering with him, partnering with others of like-mindedness to do that. So as we look at our global outreach ministry here, let me tell you several things that I think are significant about it. Why I'm excited about it, why I think you ought to be excited about it, and hopefully by the end of this, you'll stand and join with me and say, to the glory of God by the people of Grace. The first thing is I would say that's significant about our global outreach program is the missionaries that we support. We have 85 missionaries that we support regularly. They're in over 25 countries with 23 different agencies. We're not an agency in ourselves, so they're part of other organizations that we partner with, like-minded organizations, in over 25 countries of the world. 86 missionaries that we do. These are some great people, too. Let's look at where they are spread out around the world. It says, the sun hardly sets on a Grace missionary. Now, I do notice there's a little blank area in the middle of the Pacific, somewhere over Hawaii. I'm trying to develop retirement plans, and so I'm thinking I'm going to fill that gap right there. Dinah and I, thank you for your support. Just want to cultivate your vision that I'm going to sacrifice myself. We have over 100 people involved in 33 A-teams or advocacy teams that are supporting those missionaries while they're on the field. They are their link to Grace Covenant Church and keeping them informed and us informed about them. Here's a significant thing. 48 of those 86 missionaries were at this church before they went there. That's significant. They were here. I'll tell you more about the ones that grew up here in a minute. 48 of them were here and as a child, as a youth, as a college student, or just employed in their other career before they went to the field. That's the impact of the missionaries. These are our people coming up from among us. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would thrust out laborers from yourself to go to the world. That's a significant thing about our global outreach program, is the missionaries and the ones that come from us. Now, missionaries can be unique people. We've all met them, okay? They're kind of become these, especially those that serve cross-culture, become third culture people. They're no longer a part of the U.S., but they're foreigners in the culture they're trying to serve. So they're kind of caught in the middle. And so sometimes it's more awkward for them to come back and visit us and to be overwhelmed again that, honey, they not only have toilet paper in the store, they have all kinds of toilet paper. The choices that they face here and all those kinds of things. Third world culture. There's a lot written about third world culture kids that are children of missionary parents. There's kind of different types of missionaries, okay? And it's really kind of true. You see it even in pastoral, and you see it in business and other areas. But particularly in missionaries, there's kind of three categories of missionaries. There's the pioneers, or what I call the frontiersmen. They're the people that are on the cutting edge of the gospel frontier. They're going where you're not supposed to go legally. Okay, they're going behind the Iron Curtain back in the 60s and 70s and beginning to share Christ with people and establish contacts and connect with any Christians that are there. They're on the forefront of it. The pioneers, these frontiersmen out there, establishing a beachhead for the gospel. Then after that group of people comes a group that I call the settlers. They come in and begin to take the contacts from the frontiersmen and begin to establish relationship with those people groups longer term. They begin to bring in resources to help them form a church or form a ministry and to begin to care about what God cares about for their people group. And then the third group builds on that. They're called the builders. They come in and bring in more resources and more connections and more organization, and they help establish a ministry in a greater way and then begin to turn it over to those indigenous people. So you have the frontiersmen pioneering going through, you have the settlers coming and helping establish, and then you have the builders who really kind of bring it together and then help turn it over, and they become advisors to the local people. Our missionaries are made up of all three types of people, of those three categories. There's different people going into areas that we'd think, how do you go there? How do you openly share the gospel? Well, they're frontiersmen. They're going to figure out how to do it, and God uses them to do that. We have some great missionaries a part of our missions group. A few years ago, Don and I got to take a trip to Europe and go to France and Italy. Yes, suffering for Jesus. At your expense, I should say. But we went to visit as part of kind of working with those A-teams to visit Ray and Ruthanne Garel in southern France. And it turns out today, two missionary couples are here. It's the Garels and the Marcuses, the two we went to see. Not coordinated, but it just happened. So if you see them today, are they here, either the Garels here this service or Marcuses? I don't see them right now. You're waving at me. There you go. Ray, good to see you. There's Ruthanne coming in. They serve, they help establish a church in southern France. We got to go visit them, be in their home for several days, be a part of their ministry. You know, in both where they are and where the Marxists are in Bologna, in my 34 years of full-time missions, I have not sat down with a person who out of the gate just says, look, I'm an atheist, my parents were atheists, my grandparents were atheists. They run into people like that all the time. This is their firm belief system. They are a couple that will share Christ with people and help lead them, do a Bible study with them, help them grow. They've helped form a church there in Saint-Étienne. A great group. We got to go. They had a baptismal service while we were there. It was a baptismal banquet. I thought, this is the way you celebrate baptisms. You have a banquet. And there were non-believers there, and they were sharing Christ with them. What a great ministry. Thank you guys for being here and serving and being a part of our missions group. They live in southern France in the mountains, and they said, look, in the evenings you need blankets. This was in June or July, and you know, because the temperature drops in the evening, and so, you know, sure enough, the temperature drops in the mountains there. Then we went there from there to Bologna, Italy, to visit Jesse and Tricia Marcus. Now, Jesse and Tricia and us go back a long ways. Dinah knew them in college. We've served on two different teams with Jesse and Tricia, once at A&M, and then once here in Austin as part of the regional team. And so we went and visited them. Now, unlike the mountains of southern France, they're in the middle of a very large Italian city that at night it seems like the temperature goes up and the breeze dies down. And we were just roasting in their apartment that night. And so the next day I said, Jesse, could we go to a store, like an electronics store or something like that? Do they sell portable air conditioners here in Italy? So we found one and bought one. And well, actually, you bought it. And they are very thankful for that. That we could minister to them and give them good night's sleep now in their hot, steamy apartment. They're working with college students at the University of Bologna, one of the oldest continuous running universities in the world, that had not had a college ministry established for a number of decades even. It'd been written off. They're sharing Christ, seeing fruitful results in ministry, seeing students now attend conferences and be a part of that. We get to be a part of that too. We're a part of what God is doing in their lives and through them in serving the Lord. Well, it's significant, again, that we have the quality of missionaries that we have. But let me tell you the single most significant thing about our global outreach program. I've told this to Tom, and it says something about our church more than any other statistic. We're willing to give our children to world outreach. Of those 48 people that are from Grace, of the 86 missionaries, 30 of them grew up in this church. They were in the children's ministry when you rock them. They were in the children's ministry when you shared Bible stories with them, in the youth ministry when you went to camp with them. God raised up through those efforts 30, over a third of our missionaries are children. It says a lot for a church to give money to missions. It says a lot to pray for missionaries. It's easy to raise money. You can make emotional appeals and stir people to give. You can easily disseminate a prayer request. But when you give your children to something, it's because you care about it. 30 of our missionaries are from our own children. That is a significant statistic for us, that they grew up here. In Ecclesiastes 12:1, Solomon wrote, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach, when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' Serve the Lord. Remember the Lord your Creator in your youth." And we're willing to give our children to the cause of Christ to make a difference in the Great Commission. We have great missionaries. We're willing to give our children to it. The third thing that's significant about what we're doing in the world is that we're trusting God to be a part of special causes. Back in January, I think it was, when our other Mission Sunday, Tom shared about how we're sensing God leading us in different directions and how we got into different areas of the world by responding to God's prompting. We continue to do that. We took the Awana program years ago to the children of Haiti when they didn't have a children's ministry like that. At one point on the president's palace ground, they had an Awana children's rally. We were a part of that. We helped launch Celebrate Recovery in Uruguay and spread it in Argentina. We helped provide the funding to translate the Bible first in the written language of a people group and now into auditory form so that they can have a Bible in their language for the first time. We partnered with Food for the Hungry and local churches in Zawiya, Ethiopia, and we've cared for 115 orphans over the last 3 years. We continue to care for them. Recently, we funded that medical clinic in Uganda. When we ask, you give generously, you give sacrificially, you give quickly. And I'm proud of you for it. Good job. Good job for being so responsive to the Lord. If you're new to Grace, you need to understand you're a part of a very generous people. They're willing to give to the cause of Christ, to the ministry here, but the ministry across town and across the world. We have great missionaries. We give our children to it. We respond to God's direction to get into special causes. Let me say one last thing that I think makes our missions program great. We've got a great staff leader in Tom Sanchez. I tell him that he is our ambassador to the world. He represents us very, very well. Tom, again, was one of those that came out of Grace, was involved in Grace when he was a college student at UT. He and Brenda served 23 years in Latin America in various countries with the Navigators. It came to a unique point in his life. We began to look for our first global outreach pastor and talked to Tom and connected, and he's come and served. He's got a great heart. He's got a great experience and understanding of what we're doing. We put Tom in some very hard situations. One of the hard things in the pastoral ministry is that you have to tell people who are very passionate about a cause, no, or not now, or not us. Tom does this with such dignity and grace. He's a great champion for our missionaries. He started the A-Team program to do that. He's been a great servant for us. We've got a great global outreach program because we have great missionaries that serve. We're willing to give our children to it. We're willing to follow God's lead to do special causes. And we've got a very, very good, outstanding staff leader. To the glory of God by the people of Grace. You're a part of this. You're a part of a church that cares about those things, that loves the Lord enough to be a part of it and be responsive to it. So I'm going to end the service tonight with today with a little bit different kind of deal. We're not a very traditional service. We don't do creeds and that sort of stuff. But we're going to do a responsive reading today. Okay, so will you join me? I'm going to have you stand up. And for those that are from non-traditional backgrounds, a responsive reading is this. The pastor says something, and then you say something. Now, you need to know what to say, so it's going to be up on the screen. You're actually going to be able to read what I'm going to say. And your response is going to be very simple. To the glory of God by the people of Grace. I'll say a little bit. You'll say, to the glory of God. No, I don't want you to say, to the glory of God, the people of Grace. I want you to be enthusiastic about it because it is to the glory of God. And if the one thing I want you to remember from today's service is that the reason we're involved in the world is because God commands it, and it's to His glory. So let's read together. In Luke 24, 46, 48, Jesus told His disciples, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Through the centuries, that message of forgiveness of sin has come to us so that we might believe that Jesus is our Savior and Lord. We are the children of the living God and ambassadors for Christ. Over 40 years ago, God stirred a group of people to start a Bible church in Austin, Texas, which has given us a place to worship and serve. So now, we have a cause greater than ourselves to be Jesus' witness to this and future generations. You're doing very well. In response to that stewardship passed to us, we join in partnership with our missionaries, other churches, and organizations to care for the needy, share the good news of salvation in Jesus to the world's population. We stand together as a church community to stir one another to love and good deeds. To give generously, serve willingly, obey faithfully, to do our part in the fulfillment of the Great Commission Christ gave us. It is not for our glory or honor. We boast only in Christ Jesus. For any good thing we do is the work of the Holy Spirit in and through us. We worship and adore You, the King of Glory. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for this people, for them being a part of the people of Grace, of this generation connected to past generations that seek to bring You honor and glory. Father, we don't just stand alone, but we stand with many others who care about the world, who care about You, who care about the cause of Christ, so that You would be honored and glorified in what we do, that our work would be a pleasing aroma to You, to the glory of God by the people of Grace. Amen.
For more information about Grace, visit our website at grace360.org.